Can I ask you something? If you had one shot, one opportunity to seize everything that you ever wanted in one moment, would you capture it or let it slip?
Welcome to what I've coined cooperativism. We've been through many types of systems of organization, I believe. We've had communism, socialism, all kinds of isms. There's a cartoon written back in the day about isms. And I think cooperativism is a good concept, the idea of cooperation. I mean, that's saying, why can't we just get along? I think the reason why we've been at odds with each other for so long is those that are ahead of the game, depending on the ism that they're involved in, feudalism, whatever, they have to keep us in their in a place. And I think it's time for us to move on, to cooperate with one another. We have the capability to instantly communicate now. Something we've never had. And by being able to quickly communicate this concept of cooperation, we have an opportunity. And I'm hoping that this concept will go viral very quickly, because if it will not, I think that it will just go by the wayside, or it may end. So I am hoping that all of those out there that have the wherewithal, have platforms that have hundreds of thousands of people involved listening to their message. I've been concerned over the last year or so that no one has an idea of what to do. And I suggest America is the shining light. Yeah, we have had all kinds of problems. We've had periods of issues that are horrific. I understand that. But it's time for us to move on. Cooperation is one thing that can bring us together. And that is, when you think about it, there's 8 to 10 or more things that each of us purchase each month that makes us united. And they need us, they being the power brokers. You notice how the economy has turned down because there's, I don't know, 40 million of us or something out of work right now. There's no need for this. We need information. So we need the internet. We need cable. But we don't need to be charged for it the way we are right now. We need cell phones. They're very important to our jobs and so on, to our being able to communicate with one another quickly. We need insurance. We need banking services. We need transportation. We need housing, childcare, healthcare. These are all services that we buy from who? We buy them from multinational corporations. They don't care about us or our needs. But we need those services to exist in this modern society. So what I'm proposing on this podcast is the idea of cooperation, the idea of being a cooperativist. And that is, when you think about it, all of these services that we're purchasing, all we have is our numbers. You know, there's generally, I would say, between 200 million to 160 million of us daily going, out to work. And when you add up the payments that all of us are making to pay for those services through these multinational corporations, it's incredible the amount of power, the amount of credit, the amount of capability, the amount of opportunity that we have. And I like this one video clip. You know, I mean, that's awesome. That's this whole thing in a nutshell. If you have the opportunity, if you had the opportunity to make something happen, would you take it or would you just let it go? We have an opportunity right now to do something for our benefit. And there's like 3,141 counties, roughly, that make up this country. And this country was based on a political philosophy that had never been tried before. We've always had rulers and people over us, and this government was organized around the idea of the people being in charge. And we've had that taken away, and we've been at war for our entire span of existence, and I would suggest with the banks, those money lenders, those international money lenders that we borrow from to make things happen. When we started this country, we had the Revolutionary War. We borrowed from France and other places, I believe the Netherlands, and we have made treaties, and others have made treaties that we are subject to. The Treaty of 1213 between the Pope and King John. Why is that relevant? I mean, that's ancient history, right? Well, our Constitution in several places talks about, in Article 3, this in Section 2, it says the judicial power shall be extended to all cases in law and equity arising under the constitutions and laws of the United States and treaties made. Well, I suggest that the Treaty of 1213, which was between, again, the Pope and King John was excommunicated from the church. And when he tried to get back in, the Pope said, yeah, I'll let you back in, but you have to accept my bishop and you have to cede all lands that are held by the kingdom, the king, and cede them to the Pope. So all lands from then into the future were ceded to the Pope by this treaty. So all the commonwealths of the world, including the United States, the original 13 colonies, because they were part of these land grants from the king and from other lords of the time. Lord Baltimore, that's where we got the city of Baltimore. So 60% of the so-called income tax, which is collected annually, I think it's around $3 trillion, 60% of that fee goes to the Vatican. Why? Well, because we're paying that tribute. Again, the lands are ceded from King James to the Pope, and that's his tribute per that Treaty of 1213 and per our Constitution. And the remaining 40% of that $3 trillion goes to the Bank of England, which is held by the Rothschilds, who now hold something like 190 some countries in bondage through their central bank system, which is horrific when you think about it. We have this system of banking that our Constitution said only Congress should coin money. This is why America, I believe, was exceptional, because we were able to create our own wealth. And Ben Franklin was asked in England back in the day when he was visiting there, what did we do with our poor and our homeless? And he said, we didn't have anyone that was poor or homeless. We didn't have any debt or prisons like in England, because everyone was prosperous. And why was that? Because we created our own colonial script. And we only produced enough of it where there was no inflation, okay? But then when the king found out about that and the banks in England, they actually were counterfeiting our notes and shipping them over by the bale. And so, which led Washington to say, you couldn't buy a wagon load of munitions for a wagon load of Continentals. Continental was the currency. So we've always had these boom bust cycles. The banks give us credit and then they take it away. They pull the rug out from under us. And then we end up giving away our real assets, our real profits to a bank that has nothing, no hole, no skin in the game. They're only trading paper. It makes no sense. And the Federal Reserve, the bank which rolls over us, President Trump has put that bank into our treasury again. I'm not sure what the long-term connotations of that is, but I think it's a good start. I think we need to get back to our Constitution. The Federal Reserve Act was passed in the dead of night, and I think it was December 23rd, 1913, when everyone was home. How did that make it to the floor? I don't know. Wilson signed it into law, and Wilson later said that he was afraid that he destroyed his country by doing so. But we can change these things. How? By uniting with one another. There's 3,140 counties that make up this country. Think about a privately held community bank. So it's a private membership association of people saving their money together. This is a right. It's not a privilege that the state bestows on us. Most people don't understand the idea of rights and privileges. And think about it this way, that every state in the union has in their laws the right of what they call public vehicular travel. You have a right of liberty to go where you want to, when you want to, over any public road. Okay? That's your right. Now, you have given up that right through your uneducated choice. You've given up that right for a privilege bestowed upon you by the state. Okay? So travel, the act of liberty to drive down the road, is your right to do so. But when you take on the mantle of being a driver, you are now hauling passengers for the state for hire, as far as the state is concerned. And they pool all of our titles that we pay for these vehicles, but the state owns them through the title system. You have a certificate of ownership, which gives you a second class status of ownership. And they pool those titles together into a derivative, and they sell those on the stock market as a municipal bond, and they make lots of money. We need to start exercising our rights. We've gone away from understanding our rights under law, and we've been trained through our civics classes as we were growing up not to understand these processes. So what I'm trying to do in this podcast is to excite the idea around the country about the idea of each county, 3,000 counties plus, organizing their own independent membership-owned associations. Because under the First Amendment, we have a right to associate. So by organizing these private membership banks, we give the state no opportunity to ask us for our books. When you create a corporation is an illegal fiction which is organized by the state. And in doing so, the state is totally welcome to come in and search your records, look at your books at any time of day. So we need to take our rights back and we need to exercise them. And we need to do that with our funds. And as I said earlier, there's like 8 to 10 things that we could start purchasing. I suggest the first thing after organizing these 3,000 banks online, we're not talking about mortar and brick here. We're talking about organizing a bank representing, I live in currently in the Pierce County, Washington. So the bank, I am the first member of the Bank of Pierce County Membership Association. And as a member, I pledge to put all my deposits, to redeem all my money through my bank in my county. And so by doing so, if you would take a minute to understand how money is created, I will in the future place hopefully many videos or direct you to videos that will explain how money is created by banks. Basically, it is by the power of 10. When you put in $1,000 in a bank, they create 10,000 of new money. They create it by creating new loans, and then they keep 10% to hold as a reserve, and they loan out the 90% at interest. And they do that over and over and over. So if we were to do this for ourselves, you think about all those purchases. Every time we make a purchase, we're creating money for ourselves. If we were to do this in this way. So as an example, there's the U.S. government census says there's something like the average per capita income is around $2,500 a month, roughly. So using the figure of about 220 million of us are bringing in somewhere around that figure, some less, some more, but it's just a rough figure. That equals about $550 billion a month that would go into our bank. Annually, that would be $6.6 trillion deposited in our privately held bank. Over the year, using the bank's power to create money, that would be $66 trillion just from us going to work. This could mean many things, like not having our wives or our spouses to have to work so that we have someone to stay home to anchor the family. I mean, that's one of the biggest problems in this country is that we've destroyed the family because everyone has to go to work. And in the past, you know, my mom was at home, and if you caused too much of a bad day for her, you would have a really bad day. So someone was home to keep that moral agenda in the household, which today I would say is lacking. So consider the concept, like I said, of all of us, 220 to 160 million of us, that's our power, is putting our funds directly into our own banks, creating wealth. So the next thing I would recommend is an insurance company. Insurance companies are highly competitive. They create a lot of baggage, I guess you could say, a lot of unnecessary paper that does nothing but cost us money, delays things from being done, and so on. What we need is when we're out here doing business in the world, when we have a problem, when we need an insurance claim done, we need to have things fixed so that we can get back to work. And we need that at a reasonable cost. And it's interesting, there is an insurance company called USAA, which started out taking care of just military people. And I still believe that's all they take care of. I think if you've had a military member in the family, you may be able to become a member through them being in the family. But by and large, they only provide services for military vets and so on. So, but the USAA has also now created their own bank. And during the 2008 so-called financial crisis, they were doing very well. So I suggest by creating our own bank and our own insurance company initially can create a fund that we can start providing for creating other service cooperatives to provide us these other services, like mortgage services. Most people don't realize that when they buy their mortgage, that they're paying the interest on that mortgage. Let's say it's a 30-year mortgage. They're paying the interest to the bank for the first 20 years or more. 90% of the payment that you're making is just going to interest. You don't start paying the principal on your home until way, way down the road. And so what I recommend, or what I suggest, is that we start buying houses through ourselves, and we set up 10-year mortgages or 15-year mortgages where we're paying those mortgages off as quickly as possible, because we want homeowners in this country. We want people to have a stake in this country. We don't want bankers to have a stake. We want the people that live here to have a stake in this country. Now, you look at, there's like 700 or 75 million owner-occupied homes in the U.S. Average payment's about $1,200 a month. That would mean there's about $90 billion monthly going into banks. Now, if we put that $90 billion into our own county, membership-owned private banks, we would be creating wealth that you can't even imagine. Together, we would be creating about $132 billion a month times 12, which is about $1.5 trillion annually, $15 trillion created through using what they call the fractional reserve banking system. And I don't think this banking fractional reserve system is bad, just as our forefathers used fractional reserve. They printed their own local currency, and they only issued it to enough to make the economy work. So there was no inflation. As long as goods and services keep up with the money being printed, we have no inflation. And I suggest that there's always ways that we can create more wealth for people. I don't think any of us are making enough money to really provide the kind of lifestyle that we'd like to see for our families. So anyway, by putting together that 75 million home occupied homes, or that is mortgage payments, and the 44 million renter occupied homes, those payments, we'd end up with, as I said, about $15 trillion a year using our own bank. And transportation, just a very small portion of our transportation is just commuter services. You're looking at about 260 million cars on the road, about 9,000 a year for the cost to run those vehicles. So we're spending about $195 billion a month on that. If we were to put that through our bank, we would be creating about $23 trillion. So there's many ways that we could provide better services. I think if we controlled things, and that is we providing things for our needs rather than for the needs of the corporations. And what I'm suggesting is, most people don't realize that. I ask people a lot. I said, how did we get to work in 1910? And most people say we got to work by horses. Well, no, that's not true. Actually, in 1910, 90% or more of the American population were transported by electric trolley. Just about any country in the county in the country, you could go into any city and you could get from point A to point B by electric trolley. And then you could go to a hub where you could go anywhere virtually in the country. And then from there, you could go anywhere in the world by steamship or whatever. But how did we lose that? How did we turn into this vehicle-driven society? Well, because the automakers decided that actually it was a lawsuit in 1922, I believe, where General Motors, Firestone, and Chevron colluded, where they bought every electric trolley company in the country, and they basically just, they took them out to the ocean and sunk them, or they put them in a scrap heap and they burnt, you know, they fired them up and turned them into something else. But the point was that our entire electric trolley system was destroyed by corporations to make profit for buses. General Motors, Firestone, and Chevron. They made more money on bus routes and automobile travel than they would is if we would have had a low-cost, efficient electrical trolley system, which we had. LA had a trolley system. New York, you obviously had a trolley system. But the point is that we had these in place and they were taken from us. And there was a lawsuit in 1922 where Chevron, as I said, Chevron, General Motors, and Firestone were fined $5,000 for collusion. $5,000 to some of the biggest corporations in the world. That was kind of not even a slap on the wrist. So we're now, because of the green economy or whatever, we're coming back and we're establishing these light rail systems, but the cost to you and I is phenomenal. And why do we have gridlock? Because this powerful system was taken from us for greed. So again, for cable, I mean, we need to communicate. We need to have fast internet services so that we can understand what's going on in our government, both local, state, and federal. And we need to get to the bottom of things, and we need that cable access so that we can watch our government do what it's supposed to be doing, so, and to pay attention. So there's some 417 million of us that are subscribers to five providers at about $100 a month. Well, that would mean about $8.5 billion is going into, or could go into, our own banks. And because every time we make that payment, multiply that by 10, you're creating wealth. So over the course of a year, that would be about $1 trillion is being created by our banks for our benefit. And cellular services, again, about 417 million subscribers, 100 a month, about the same amount of money, ending up to be about $3.5 trillion annually in our banks. Employment, again, we're taking home about anywhere between $2,600 and $3,600 annually. 130 to 160 million workers. Plus, we have people that are maybe even on retirement funds. It's another 100 million of us. So every time we deposit in our own bank, we're creating wealth for ourselves. Childcare, about 54 million of us are spending about $1,000 a month on childcare. That would be about $6.5 trillion created by our bank annually. And think about the better services and the services that we could be getting, giving to more people who need those services if they were in a cooperative system where our daycare workers were being paid better. That wasn't a capitalist system, but a cooperative system where their costs are lowered through, we provide, if you're a childcare provider, we can provide services to you through other services that we create through our banks. Health insurance, again, the same thing. Because we're providing services through a private cooperative system, the question is, because we're a membership association,